and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design. Mr. Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson are live in the studio today. Good morning and welcome back.
Oh, good morning, Ron. It is great to be here in high summer, 7/29/21. And as I was walking in this morning, I was thinking, you know, the garden is talking to us. It's like just crazy. The Swiss chard.
Oh.
And the zucchini. Now, normally I'm not a zucchini fan. It's like, you can't give that stuff away. But Jill made some, cooked some last night. Wow, hey, that's all right. Cucumbers, just like everything is exploding. The sunflowers in the neighborhood. Even the sunflowers are like crazy, beautiful. And join us before we get into our subject. Is the Heidi Thompson, Retirement Income Certified Professional. Welcome, Heidi.
Good morning. Thanks.
Yes. Awesome. So later, Shay Pataja will be joining us as well with a bunch of stats on what's going on with the economy, and I think you'll find that interesting as well. So more than a third of people plan to increase. Okay, so let me back up a minute. Three ways the COVID-19 pandemic has changed America's retirement savings habits for the better. Well, this is for people who are saving. And then I also thought, you know, why don't we talk about other issues that I'm seeing with clients, what they're doing, as well as the outlook from a very, very well-known money manager in these United States of America, one of the biggest, what their outlook is, mid-year issue, June of 21. First, more than a third of people plan to increase their 401k contributions post-pandemic. About 36% of Americans plan to increase the percentage of their salary that goes to their 401k each month. 36% plan to increase it. Oh, we're only putting in 5%? What about 7? Those kinds of conversations. What percentage are you putting in? And firstly, are you getting the match? Are you putting enough in to have your employer give you that free money?
Because getting the match is just like doubling your investment on day one.
It's like doubling your return, and it is doubling your investment. So because, you know, if you're putting in 3, for instance, and they're putting in 3, it's like getting 100% on your money. No investment, Dennis or Heidi can show you can match that rate of return. Now, it may be vested over a number of years.
Correct.
Usually 5 to 7 years before all that money that your company that you work with that has matched your contribution can go with you. But even if it's 20% that goes with you and you've left early, still a great rate of return on your funds.
And 401ks aren't the only employer plans that offer a match. The Simple plan also has a match. Usually.
Yeah. Speaking of 3x3, usually if you're putting in 3, then they'll match that 3. Now, that's the max that an employer can match your contribution in a Simple IRA plan. But what you can do is decide to arbitrarily increase the amount that you can save on your own. And for those limits, Heidi will tell us in a moment what those limits are as to what someone could potentially save. In a Simple plan, I know that you hear all that paper rustling. That's Heidi looking up those sheets. Because frankly, we can never remember exactly what they are because they are shifting. Thank you, Ron, for the sound effects. Next, before we get into that, if you're not yet getting your employer's full match, increasing the match you earn each month and bulk up your savings quicker. That seems rather redundant to what I just said. Secondly, Schwab's data found that 35% of Americans are looking to invest more outside of their 401ks. So, next point, number two, more than a third of people are planning to increase their investments outside of their 401ks. They're planning to save elsewhere. How do I diversify my investments within the 401k? I don't even know what I have available. That may be something you might say. And or am I taking full advantage of what I have? We've talked about this before. Yesterday came up close and personal again. It was, oh my gosh, you really have some. We were consulting with a couple doing a financial plan, financial planning client only. And I was surprised at the quality of the investments within their 401k plan. So you never know. And the good people tend to do good things within those accounts. Were you going to say something, Heidi?
Well, I was just going to mention that one way you do that is if you're saving outside of your employer's plan, you can do that with an individual account or a joint account or a trust account. And we call those non-qualified accounts because they're not related to the retirement account rules, which leads us into, is this a good idea? And I would say yes, because Dennis, there's like three buckets of money that we look at in retirement, right?
There is. Speaking of the bucket approach, because you brought it up, Heidi, it allows people to pivot more, doesn't it? So they can determine more freedoms. Should we take money out of here, X, Y, or Z, depending on our different accounts?
Right. And that can be maybe tax-free money that you might have available through a Roth account. Or you could have traditional money in a 401k or IRA, and that's pre-tax money that gets taxed on the way out. And then you have your non-qualified or your regular investments that have been taxed on a regular basis over time as you earn dividends and interest. You pay a tax on that annually. So when we're looking in retirement or when you're ready to take money out, if you have these different types of money, in the changing tax world, you can switch like where you're taking your money from to meet those certain expenses. So the more different kinds of money you have, the more strategy you have available to try to get a better situation down the line.
Exactly. And the tax consequence, obviously, is extremely different. In an IRA, 100% of the income that you draw from the IRA is taxable. Well, given today's low tax rates, not necessarily a bad thing. But in the Roth, 100% of what you draw is tax-free. Now, when you're taking money out of a joint account or a trust account, you only have to pay tax on the gain, on the taxable gain, as you've liquidated that asset to satisfy that need. So capital gains rates relatively low today. And again, you only have to pay tax on the gain on that money, not the whole thing that comes out. So very different playing field when it comes to tax. Now, to go back to the retirement plan contribution limits, since we were talking about how much can you put in a simple IRA, just going back to that, the maximum contribution for this year, 2021, is $13,500 with a catch-up contribution, if you're 50 or older, of $3,000. So $16,500 is the amount you can put into a simple IRA. Pretty significant. Now, the 401k and 403b accounts with the matching contribution, it's $26,000. So $19,500 and $6,500 is $26,000. Roth IRA and IRA contributions, $6,000 plus a $1,000 catch-up. Yes, I see a question.
Yes. You said earlier if you're getting a match with your company and you might be vested 5 or 7 years, if you leave before that, the company doesn't keep the money. Or how does that work?
Well, you are 40% vested in those sums that they match. Now, 100% of your money that you put in always goes with you, to clarify. But let's say 40% of what the company has invested in your plan, and let's just keep it simple, let's say that what they matched was $10,000. Well, if you're 40% vested, it means you get 4,000 of that amount. Right. And then the balance of the 6,000, to fully answer your question, is that what your question is?
Well, how do they get the money back if it's already in?
Well, it's in the plan, but they are allowed through the document, through the administrator of that plan, once you leave and pull your money out, that 60% is then disseminated amongst all the other participants within the plan.
And that's what we call a forfeiture, amount that is not vested that goes back to the plan.
So theoretically, if you had a lot of people leave before they were fully vested, that would benefit those guys who stuck around, right?
Indeed it does. You bet. So it can make a difference between those who stay and should I leave or should I go? Sounds like a song. You know, it's crazy. Number three, more than 30% plan to pay off debt. And that's great for later on. Being debt-free in retirement is a tactic retirees swear by. And we don't want to hear any swearing on this show. We've had just about enough of that.
It's a family show.
Yes. Not only does it make money stretch further, but it also takes away one more responsibility while living on a fixed income later. So as we lose flexibility, we're naturally going to want more flexibility in other areas, especially finance. Doesn't make sense. You know, I turned into a philosopher at the drop of a hat. I'm just so impressed. Somebody's got to be impressed, right? So anyway, the detail is this. If you have more flexibility, as Heidi mentioned, in your retirement accounts, and secondly, you don't have to make those payments every month. I've never heard a retiree say, you know, I'm sorry, Dennis, we paid off that mortgage. Never heard that said. Okay? Just not a point of conversation I hear amongst retirees.
Do you have a theory as to why all these people want to save more, pay off debt, and put more into their 401k contributions?
Oh, the answer is not here in my highlighted page. Let's see.
But you could speculate a little
bit. I could speculate. Is that a word we can use here?
I don't know if that's allowed.
I'm not sure.
Compliance
will probably knock this word off. My own speculation on this is everyone has gotten a dose of reality, perhaps. COVID has given us all a dose of reality of the world is never a certain place. Now, we talk about some certains, if you will, when we're talking about financial planning and using future values with numbers and percentages, but the future is not a some certain. The Delta variant is teaching us that, correct? So because my own personal opinion is because of that uncertainty, they're saying, we want to save some more money so that we're more ready for the next emergency. They're more prepared. Or for the next opportunity. Money tends to bring opportunity. It will tend because of those who save. That's just how it is. It's almost an unwritten rule. For those who save, it just presents opportunity, whether it's diversification or whether it's buying that piece of land right next door to you. Dear, I think we should buy that lot next door. What do you think? Well, I think it's a great idea. So that sort of conversation can happen if you have saved. And then it tends to open up more opportunities for you. I've seen this again and again with clients. Is there a question?
Yes, there is, but not from me this time. It's Charlie on the line in Traverse City. Good morning, Charlie.
And a pleasant good morning, all.
Hey, good morning, Charlie.
My question is, I'm one of those people that's retired, but then started another career. Been doing fairly decent with it. The house is paid off. Own the cars. My wife is retired as well, but she also still works. And I'm 68. Now, this year, I'm looking at the fact that, you know, I've got the money to throw into my 401k or throw into a Roth. I've not decided on what to do. But I guess my wonder is whether I should throw that into the market or whether I should just put it back into my 401k and let it sit there.
Throw what back into the 401k?
The money that we can do our $7,000 a piece into our 401k. We've got the money to do it.
Okay.
So I guess I'm not quite sure where to go stash that money, and I guess tax-wise, maybe it makes more sense to throw it in my 401.
Well, if you're deducting it, it can make sense. It's going to depend partially on your tax bracket. So the only thing I can do is answer generally. It's partially dependent on your tax bracket. It's partially dependent on how much you already have in 401ks and IRAs. So take a look at that, you know, the big picture. And then think about adding money to the Roth if you think for you your tax brackets are going to be higher in the future. Number two, you can leave those funds in there generally 8 to 10 years. Because you don't get to deduct it going in, all right? And number three, you know, well, that's if you're converting. Number three doesn't really apply in this case. So the first two can make sense in thinking about, do I want to add some money to the Roth? Now, the other part of this is, in a 401k, you're adding money every month. So you're dollar cost averaging in, and as long as you invest through the investment cycle, it sounds like you're kind of concerned about the market being this high. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And so more risk. The way to alleviate some of that risk is if you're putting money in every month, you're gonna quash, if you will, a lot of that risk related to the market as long as you invest throughout the cycle. All right?
Okay, and I guess I have not been investing throughout the cycle. I just let my money pile up and then decide to put it somewhere. So,
okay. Well, that might be a great strategy to employ in using more growth in income or more growth funds, because then you don't have to worry nearly as much about what the market going to do tomorrow, if you will, okay?
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you.
You're welcome, Charlie. Appreciate the call.
Have a great afternoon.
Hey, you too. Thanks a lot. You know, and as we're talking, it just amazes me still. The amount of responsibility all of us have for our own money these days. It's crazy.
Yep.
You know, our parents all collected, many of them collected a pension plan. And the big decision was, you know, do we both get 100% if I pass away? You know, and now it's, how do we invest this? How do we allocate it, if you will? What account should we put it in as we grow it?
How do we get it out?
How do we get it back out? I've been pushing this elephant ahead for 30, 40, 50 years, how do I begin to draw income? That's why we have an RICP professional on staff. All right, so we're not going to get to the outlook. We're not going to have time for that. But this research is phenomenal. I'm just thinking, hopefully we'll get to that in a couple weeks. Exactly right. But what else I wrote in terms of what I'm hearing from clients, so what they're concerned about, inflation, number one, whether this is transitory or not. We're getting a lot of competing information about that. Given where the spending is by our federal government, my own personal opinion, and what our advisor is saying, I would say it's probably not transitory, that it's more permanent, but this research paper that we had said that they thought it was. So, again, a lot of competing conversation about that and research.
Yes, sir.
Number two, diversification. Diversification has never been more important in terms of fixed investments that can provide income, provide stability, as well as having some monies if you're appropriately invested and it matches your risk tolerance. Having some monies invested in the market. Markets have been up. Those that don't have any money in the markets, frankly, have gone behind quite a bit this year.
And that goes in a little bit with, Dennis, what we were talking about earlier on the types of money, like the after-tax, the pre-tax, the non-qualified money. So then you have diversification come into that mix, and it's like, so which investment should be in which account? Which one is the best one for which kind?
It's like a cornucopia. It really is, because you can say, you know, if the Roth is later money, why couldn't I have a bit more risk given my own risk tolerance in a portfolio like that? And it just helps enhance the return. Because what if I'm wrong when I think that the market's going to go down by 30% in the next 2 weeks, you know, as an example? The key is, invest the way that you don't necessarily think the markets are going to go, because almost certainly, who would have thought that about a year ago, the market would be, as measured by the Dow, would be about 25,000, and today it's about 35. I didn't hear any market prognosticators saying that that was going to be the case. So given that reality, you know, you got to have some money in to play the game, if you can, without being salesy about it, all right? You know, none of us want to hear a preaching term to for somebody to satisfy their shill. But think about it in terms of your overall risk tolerance and using good people to do good things, to have some of your money, if you can, in those investments. Yes, Heidi.
Well, I was just going to say, and those are some of the issues that Dennis and I deal with every day with our clients. And, you know, if you're overwhelmed with some of this, maybe seek out a financial professional that can help you figure out which goes where and how much should I have in each bucket.
And there's a methodical way to look at this. When we do the financial plan for you, we'll show you where your portfolio is and how it's allocated, so you can say, oh my gosh, that doesn't match at all where my risk tolerance is. Maybe we should make some adjustments, or maybe I should adjust my risk tolerance a bit so I'm not quite as conservative, given I think the worst might happen. You see what I'm saying? It allows you to statistically, methodically, unemotionally look at your own portfolio in light of reality and where you are. Thirdly, I wrote a plan, a financial plan. We're seeing more and more of our clients and even potential clients say, we'd like to know where we're at. We'd like to know if we can spend some more at retirement, if we want to buy that camper to the stars, you know, that silver gleaming metal long thing.
The glamper?
Tow by behind with air conditioning. Yep. Honey, Airstream. All you have to do is turn on the switch and we have air in there? Yes, yes. I'm being honest, honey. So you see where those conversations might go. Not that we have a camper, but I just imagine what those conversations might be like. No, I've heard clients obviously talk about that. So it's incredible what you may decide to do, and does it still make sense in terms of how that conversation might go for you? If you want to know that reality, that's where the financial plan can help you make a determination. What if we can't do it? What if we need to make an adjustment? Or what if it's fully within our financial realm or possibilities to do this? All right, and with that, next we're going to go to Heidi and medical travel. People are traveling overseas for medical help.
Wow.
What's that all about?
Right. Well, medical travel is when you go to a foreign country or outside of the USA to have a medical procedure done. And about 650,000 Americans are expected to travel abroad for medical or dental procedures this year. Now, this is up dramatically from last year, but as we all remember, COVID last year really impacted numbers across the board. And so last year, there was only about 290,000 people that went abroad for medical. But that is far short of 2019, where it was estimated that 780,000 people went abroad for medical procedures. So why are people doing this? Well, the savings can be significant for some procedures, but we always want to remember that there can be risks and other considerations that you really want to think through before you do something dramatic like this. Quality surgical procedures can be found overseas for about 50 to 80% less, and that was the analysis that I'm reading from.
So hang on a second. So, Ron, I'm just thinking, you know, we could go see the running of the bulls in Spain and then have our teeth worked on after they get all knocked out, right?
Yeah, after they get knocked out.
If you get a knee replacement, a hip replacement.
Yeah, other. Right. Yeah, right.
You might need extensive medical care there. So as we're joking about this, but dental procedures is one of the major things that people go to another country for, and Mexico is one of the is actually the number one country that people go to from America for procedures outside. So
Boy, doesn't that just remove your preconceived notions of dental care? Yeah, it did mine when I heard this, yeah.
So they have some statistics here, and I'll try to read them slowly so that people can understand. And first, they talk about crowns. They say there's 57% savings rate on average when they are performed outside of the U.S. So the average cost, they say, in the U.S. is $1,164, and the average cost outside is $500.
Do you think they're still made out of gold, Ron, so you can have a big gold crown there?
But you still have to travel. So you save $500, but you have to buy airline tickets or bus tickets and a hotel.
That is a great segue into the next part of the article. Because when you're looking at these costs, you're like, wow, this is a great savings. But that's what you need to remember, is to add up the cost. And then after you have certain procedures, after you guys run with the bulls and you're getting your knees replaced, you know, you may have to stay there for recovery for a while and not be able to travel. Right. So you need to add that into your estimated cost of the procedure.
I just had no idea his horns would be so big.
And one other caution I would just throw out there as well is when you get something done outside of the U.S., they do not have the same legal system that we do and the same laws. So you may not have recourse if maybe something doesn't go as anticipated. So those are always considerations.
Sorry, Mr. Prout, we got the wrong knee.
I was thinking, don't be jaywalking on the way to the doctor. You might get in more trouble than you'd bargain for, right?
Yeah.
So. All right. So seriously, we have actually had clients that have had some of these procedures done overseas and been thrilled with the result because they are trained, many of them over here in the United States, and those costs related to here can be significantly less, allowing you to travel, of course, and enjoy the travel as well as the medical procedure in most cases.
Yeah.
Our chief experience officer has got a bunch of Shea stats today. Really interesting.
There's
stuff.
So many good Shea stats. All right, are you ready? Here we go. The month of August has been the second worst performing month for the S&P 500 index over the last 30 years, losing an average of 0.2% total return over the period. However, the S&P 500 gained 7.2% total return in August of 2020.
Interesting. 0.2%, about 700 points or so. Yeah.
2020.
It will never get old. I love it. The amount of equity American seniors at least age 62 have in their homes has doubled since the end of 2011, rising from $4 trillion as of December 31st, 2011, to $8 trillion as of December 31st of 2020. And that's from the National Reverse Mortgage Lenders Association. 27% of households with an outstanding mortgage on their primary residence have applied to refinance their mortgage within the last year of June 2021, and that's from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Yeah, we could get a raise of hands on that. We'd see a lot of folks chose to do that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh, honey.
I love it. As of July 22nd, 2021, the last bank in the United States to require a bailout from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, was the Elmina State Bank of Elmina, Kansas, on October 23rd of 2020, or 9 months ago. That's the third longest stretch without a bank failure in the country in the last 20 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Rising tide. Brings all ships up, yeah. For sure. You bet.
The price of used cars and trucks in the United States is up. Can you guess?
45%.
45.2%. Ron, it's almost like you've got Shea stats right in front of you. For the one-year period ending of June 30th, 2021, over the same period, the price of medical care services is up just 1%. And that's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. All right, this one's pretty sobering. 12% of U.S. retirees, so that's 1 out of 8, will spend at least 4 years in a nursing home. 12%, or 1 out of 8, will spend at least 4 years in a nursing home.
4 years. Yeah. Nobody wants to hear that stat. Nobody does. And I think, you know, we were talking about this beforehand. Because I'm a guy, we can say it. Most guys particularly don't want to hear this or pay any attention to those kinds of stats. Now, women tend to. Men won't listen to it.
Well, because we tend to live longer, too. So yeah, then the fear is, who will take
care
of us?
We tend to be much more in denial about mm-hmm. what we're going to do about aging or what we'll do at that point. Yes.
Well, and I'm talking to a few friends right now whose parents are now in nursing homes, and the cost of care is just, it's astronomical. Yeah. And it's justifiable. It's 24/7 care.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're also paying to have additional help to come in and be with them a couple hours a day just to
sure,
for they're social an company, and it's yeah. it's someone they know and they're comfortable with, and that helps with the mental health portion of it. So
it may not just be the cost of the assisted living if that's the case. It's right. all the other staff and or issues that are going on along with that where you mm-hmm. need extra care or help with other things.
Right, and families live everywhere now, so
they do.
Not
they
the
are hither
town.
And yon. We're a good example of that. Milwaukee, Detroit, and Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that stat is from the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Between March 2020, the beginning of the global pandemic, and June 2021, 1.7 million more Americans retired from the workforce than would have normally retired if historical trends had continued. So we talked about that. We've been talking about that a couple weeks now, how they're calling it the Great Resignation. So many people leaving, quitting, changing jobs, and then you put the retirees in there. Adding that stat is really, really interesting. A lot of folks out there trying to come up with what the second chapter is going to be for their life. And that's from the Schwartz Center for Economic Policy Analysis. Life expectancy at birth dropped to 77.3 years in 2020. That's down from 78.8 years in 2019.
So, to be clear, it's about a year and a half less. Is that what you're saying? 77.8 mm-hmm. to 77.3. Yeah, so a year and a half less. Wow.
And the last time it was that was 2005, when it was 77.4 years. So,
huge impact of
yeah,
COVID.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's from the National Vital Statistics Report. And here's my last Shea stat. 394,000 Americans filed an identity theft report with the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, in 2020. According to the FTC, the criminals were using the stolen information overwhelmingly to fraudulently obtain unemployment benefits. And I know people that personally dealt with this last year. So
they were being filed on, if you will, or their information correct. Was total. The information was stolen so that those people, whoever they were, could file mm-hmm. in your friend's name.
Yep. They were getting letters wow. in the mail to confirm that they were unemployed. And, you know, of course, they're getting the mail on their lunch break while they're working.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been a crazy, obviously a crazy year. And for scammers, an opportunity to take advantage of people. Mm-hmm. So that's from the government website, actually. So yeah, wild. I got to give a quick shout out to my nieces, Lake and Pax. They're listening right now. So they wanted to have Shay Shay say hello. So hello, Shay, girls.
That is really fun. Lake and Pax.
Lake and Pax. They're having a good time on the lake today. Lake fun. Learned this week that her name is not only Lake, but she swims in the lake. And her mind was blown. She just stared at us in complete shock and awe. Like, how can they be both?
Really?
It was, yeah, her other grandpa said to her, oh, your name's Lake and you're going to go swimming in the lake? And she just looked at him like, what? So they're keeping us on our toes.
I guess so.
Yes, it's been fun.
Man, the world of children.
It's just nice to have family back together this summer. Yeah. I mean, it's just such a, you took it for granted before the pandemic, so.
Yeah, we saw very little of our children and grandkids here in the last year.
But this summer you're getting to see them, right?
We are, yeah, just in a couple of days, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're
see?
Looking forward to it.
It's time for fun times.
Exactly. And all we right, do live in paradise. It's just nuts up here, is it not?
But even when you're in a traffic jam, I have to tell myself, why do you have to be mad? Look at your view.
You know, Ron, I was thinking of doing some kind of a joke thing where, you know, you probably heard those recording as, the bridges are out, the bridges are out everywhere. We could play that for Traverse City, and it would be accurate to significant degree. We had some clients come in the other day, and they were still smiling about it, but in awe of just trying to get across town with all those bridges gone. Not gone, but being fixed and closed, to be more exact.
Think about 150 years ago. People didn't even have cars, but they had horses and wagons, and they'd come to the river and go, oh, well.
They just go down through the river.
Guess I'm not going to that
side. There was a man driving through the river the other day. I'm not quite sure why, but he heard the show, and he just decided to go for it.
Then they pulled their SUP board out of the wagon. And
went on the other side.
I'm sure that horse can swim anyway. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Shay.
Thank
That's
you.
That's great. I love hearing about the kids. So one of the headlines, we actually have time for a few Outlook information pieces here. We have a few minutes here, Ron, before we're done, right?
Yes.
Awesome. So the boom heard round the world is the title of this first part. Major economies come roaring back. In the United States, real GDP growth, they're estimating, will be about 6.4%. Now, the most recent quarter was expected to be about 8.5%. It came in at about 6.5%, but still... that's the most recent quarter. U.S. GDP real growth at 6.4 versus a negative 3.5 in 2020. So a difference there of about 10% versus the 2 years. Now, what's interesting is the Eurozone real GDP growth is up at about 4.4 versus a negative 6.6 last year. There's another. That's actually 11% differential between the two. Next, emerging markets, real GDP growth this year estimated about 6.7%. And this is from the International Monetary Fund.
Isn't those are pretty large increases. Is that because it was so down last year?
Yeah. In the U.S., it was a negative 3.5. In the Eurozone, negative 6.6. In the emerging markets arena, a negative 2.2. Actually, they had been down less as a percentage, the emerging markets, than any of the other major markets. So the recovery always comes down to whether there would be enough stimulus to sustain us through the shutdowns, said this particular economist. And with a vaccine rollout compressing the time between stimulus and the functional end of COVID, we could see even stronger growth than the market expects today. So given that compression, it's not all bad news related to the economy, and that's one of the reasons we think the market is priced where it's at. Yeah. There is a lot of growth driving this. And, you know, frankly, we hear something similar about the real estate market. Well, certainly it has to come down. Well, it could correct somewhat, but given the demand, number one, and the relative undersupply of the same, there is a relative significant underpinning of the real estate economy and the economy in particular.
But it's interesting that with the new mask mandates or talk about vaccinated people have to wear masks in some areas, that kind of news that's coming out.
Right.
The Dow's up 60 points in the last hour, up 210 on the day. S&P's up 25 points today, which is a surprise. And I mean today, Thursday, July 29th, as we speak.
They're paying no attention to that particular news, and that may simply be noise along the way to continued recovery. We'll see how serious the Delta variant is, especially amongst those who have been already vaccinated. It doesn't appear to be that serious yet. The other part of that is, before I forget, going back to the Shea stats, 0.2% of 35,000, by the way, is only 70 points, not 700. But honestly, I'm not sure that that stat as a percentage is correct.
Which one?
0.2% of 35,000 is only 70 points, not 700. Now, 2% of 35,000 is 700. But, you know, sometimes we're flying along here, and I am not sure always of the percentages that are quoted within those stats. So that's where that clarification comes in. Next, don't be too concerned about Fed rate hikes. Inflation fears go hand in hand with rate hike fears. Both are exaggerated. in the view of this research team. Both are exaggerated. Market jitters over short-term inflationary pressures have moved up expectations for a rate increase in 2022. That's likely earlier than anticipated given the Fed's stated desire to let inflation run hot and get the U.S. economy back to full employment. Before launching, that's another quote from a gentleman affiliated with this research group, who I cannot mention. Before launching the first hike since 2018, the Fed is likely to take the following important steps. One, announce that it will reduce or taper its bond buying activities. Two, begin tapering. And three, end tapering. And four, signal that a rate hike is coming. So we're going to get a lot of warning, and we don't have yet that warning. That schedule will take time, and Fed officials have made it clear that they will remain patient, not always in large supply in Washington, D.C., or in the news cycle, given that the news cycle is, I think, what, about 23 seconds right now? Yeah. As Fed Chair Jerome Powell recently noted, our expectation that these high inflation readings that we're seeing now will start to abate. In other words, the Fed remains patient. I already said that. I don't know. We'll see. I'm seeing some very long-term great analysts, whom I have a lot of respect for, saying that they think inflation is not transitory. That's where the competing arguments are coming in. But at the same time, I want to say this research from the group that I'm mentioning here is very, very well respected, too. So it's always nice to have some opposing opinions. Something for us to chew on, eh? As we think about this.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.